Hi, Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680. And, of course, July 30th, 1959, I love it every year. We get to celebrate the debut of the great Hall of Famer, number 44, Willie McCovey, up into the National League. Willie, you come up from Phoenix, and you were hitting the heck out of the ball in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was leading the league down there. I was hitting over 370, I know. And we had played a doubleheader that night. Rosie Ryan, who was the general manager of the Phoenix Giants at the time, came into my locker and told me that you're going up to the big club. So they playing a day game up there, and they want you up there. So, you know, I had to get ready in a hurry. I had to sleep fast and leave early that morning and get up here just in time to get in the lineup and play. I didn't even take batting practice.
Well, they had you in the lineup hitting third that day, of course, in the PCL, 372, 29 homers, and 92 RBIs. And this is only July 30th.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, when I got here, I go into the clubhouse. I was greeted by Bill Rigney. And he said, how do you feel? I told him I feel great. I didn't tell him I had slept all night. Said, I feel great. He said, well, you in there. You're hitting third. And you know what that means. So I'm moving Mays up to second, and you're hitting third. So, you know, that was pressure right away on me.
Willie McCovey coming up. Now, fans, you got to understand baseball in 1959. The Giants were in the midst of a 19-game homestand when every team in the National League would come in and play the Giants because of travel. So they'd all come in when the Giants were home. Now, Willie, when you come up, the Giants have lost four in a row. They've lost a couple to the Phillies. Jim Owens and Don Cardwell have won a couple of games. Giants are in a four-game losing streak, and they needed to get you up there. And you come up, of course, with Jose Pagan at that time as well. But it's Robin Roberts and Mike McCormick that day, and the great Robin Roberts on the hill.
That's right. That's right. And I knew Robin Roberts from the days that he and Don Newcomb used to hook up in 1-0 and 2-1 games. So I knew who Robin Roberts was.
Well, the first at bat in the big leagues is a base hit. Second at bat is a triple. As you know, you've always told me they're all off the wall. And you scored on an error by the catcher, Joe Lanette. Remember what happened?
Well, I guess it was a pass ball, yeah. And my famous hook slide into home plate and avoided the tag. So, yeah, I do remember that.
All right. Third at bat, you get a base hit and you knock in Mays. Fourth at bat, another triple and another RBI, and 4-for-4. Now, what's significant about it is it ties a record. The last National Leaguer to break in at 4-for-4, 1912, Casey Stengel with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah, I'd heard about that. They told me that later, that it was Casey, right?
All right, so now this is the part I like, because we all know about that first game, but what about the second game for Willie McCovey? Now, the Pirates are in town, and Harvey Haddix, the Kitten, is on the hill, who that year would go on to pitch 12 perfect innings for the Pittsburgh Pirates against the Braves. But, Willie, in that one, it's late in the game, Haddix on the mound, Mays walks, and then what happens? This is late in the game.
Well, first of all, Haddix was very tough on left-handers, as you probably know. And Mays was on first. Bill Rigney called me back from the batter's box, wanted to talk to me. So I'm wondering, what the heck he's doing? He's going to pinch hit? But he said, no, I want you to take a couple of pitches. He said, no, you see that guy on first base? If you take a couple of pitches, he'll steal second, and you can drive him in. And sure enough, it worked exactly like he said. I took a couple of pitches, Mays stole second, next pitch, a line drive to right field, and scored Mays.
And the Giants win the game, and they go on to sweep the Pirates and get all three against the Pirates, a four-game winning streak. Then the Braves come in, and you have another amazing game, fans. And you have to remember, this is his first week in the big leagues. Now, the Braves come in with a very tough right-hander, Bob Buell, on the hill. And what happens in that game?
Well, Buell, I hit two home runs against Buell, but before that, I hit my first home run on Ron Klein. That was my very first, so I'll never forget that. And Bob Buell, I hit two home runs against him. Yeah.
Well, August 2nd is the home run against Ronnie Klein. It was a tough pitcher for the Pirates. I remember him as a relief pitcher.
Yes, he was. And like you say, he was real tough. Yeah. So I don't remember what I hit, but I just know I hit it really well.
As he did most of the home runs, 521. All right. So now, fans, you got to understand this. Willie has played now six games in the big leagues. Willie, you're hitting 462. You've hit in all six. You're responsible for five giant wins in that period of time. You've scored nine runs. You've driven in eight. You got 12 hits, seven extra base hits, and you're hitting 462 in the big leagues. What about that?
Well, that's right, you know. And that got the attention from the Eastern writers, which, you know, doesn't happen with guys on the West Coast. So a bunch of the Eastern writers came out here and started following us around. And so that was very unusual, too.
Yeah, Rookie of the Year. And we always say, well, we know he was Rookie of the Year, but when you start looking at the games and the impact that Willie McCovey had on baseball, you understand why that was such an easy choice for everybody. July 30th comes up, and he ends up being Rookie of the Year. Willie, as you move forward through the next road trip, is now 21 games on the road. The Giants go on the road for 21 games into Philly twice, and during this time, you're hitting 22 in a row.
Yeah, I remember that, because during those days we had long road trips like that. We would visit, you know, three or four cities at one time, and we did it twice, you know, three times a year, I guess, we visited the teams in our division. But yes, as you say, it was a long road trip.
Well, 22-game hitting streak, and here's old Robin Roberts again. You're in Connie Mack Stadium. It's a 1-0 game, and you've grounded out the first. You've struck out. You've popped out. And now it's a 9th inning, 2 out, and Willie McCovey comes up against Robin Roberts, and you know what he's thinking, Robin Roberts, at that point. It's a 1-0 game. Your hitting streak's on the line, and what happens?
Well, I guess that was when I hit one hopper that Dave Philly caught, and I think that's what happened. Well, he walked me. Okay. Ronnie, you remember more than I do, you know. All of this is still a blur to me, but yeah, he walked me in the 9th inning. I remember that now.
Yeah. Prior to that, you did hit the one hopper to Dave Philly at first base, and but that was the end of the 22-game hitting streak. Willie, going back to the first game, now the Giants win at 7-2, and just the lineup. Cepeda ends up playing third because now you're the first baseman. That was never simple for Cepeda.
Well, as you know, the Giants signed Cepeda as a third baseman. A lot of people don't realize that. And when they sent him off I guess it was Kokomo,
yeah,
then they switched him over to first base. But he was originally a third baseman. But up here, he didn't like it too well because it's a different breed playing third base in the major league. So he didn't like it very well. So they put him in left field. They tried him out there. And I thought he was a pretty good left fielder, but Cepeda wanted to play first. So I told Alvin, I'll play left field. So he switched us around.
Boy, that's the truth. All right, so Jackie Brandt starts off the lineup. Then, of course, Mays, then you, then Cepeda, then Willie Kirkland, Daryl Spencer, Hobie Landreth, Eddie Brasseau, who's put in at shortstop because Andre Rogers got sent back to Tacoma, and then Mike McCormick throws the complete game in your first game.
That's right, and Brasseau, I used Brasseau's bat because I didn't have any bats when I got up here. I didn't bring my bats from Phoenix. So I picked up Brasseau's bat, and I liked the way they felt and the weight and everything, so I used them, and that's the bat I went four with.
Wow. Where is it now?
Oh, who knows, Marty? A long time ago.
Boy, that'd be a nice bat to have now. All right, Willie McCovey with us. All right, it's a 21-game road trip. The Giants play really well on the road. And then I was thinking about it. I was saying, well, how did you even get signed in those days? And I realized the Giants in those days had great scouts in the Caribbean. But for Willie, you were at home, and they had a tryout camp in Melbourne, Florida, and they provided you a bus ticket and said, come on down.
Well, first of all, there was a guy in Mobile by the name of Jesse Thomas. You know, his brother, famous brother, played in the Negro Leagues, Showboat. So Jesse Thomas was the guy who saw me play in Mobile. So he knew Alex Pompez, who was a scout for the Giants. And he arranged with Alex Pompez to have him send me down to Melbourne for a tryout. And that's when the Giants, before they had their minor league teams come in, they would have a bunch of tryouts down there who was, like I said, unsigned. And in that camp, we had Cepeda, myself, we had Felipe, Jose Pagan, and a bunch of guys that were signed from that camp. The more guys were signed that year than they've ever signed. So that's how I got signed. I was down there, and after a week, I really wasn't hitting that well in the tryout camp. But it was something they saw in me, and they said, well, we're going to sign you anyway. And the day they signed me to the contract, I went out that day and hit two home runs. So that's how it all happened.
Well, $175 a month to Sandersville, Georgia. My God, what was that like?
Georgia State League. Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in the South, so I was used to it. And, of course, I went through a lot of the stuff that Jackie Robinson went through, but on a smaller scale. But we knew, we expected it because, you know, like I say, I grew up in the South, so I knew what they expect, and I was able to handle it.
Willie, when Willie Mays got signed, I know the Birmingham Black Barons got some money, and Willie's family got some money. Did your family get any money from the Giants?
That's funny. Apparently, my mother called them and negotiated a contract for me, and they gave her a $500 bonus. I didn't even know anything about it. So it turned out my mother was a good agent, and I didn't even know it.
Very good. I had never heard that story before. But you end up having just this amazing rookie year, and I'm so glad we could talk about the beginning of it and the impact you made on it. Did you ever say, wow, the big leagues, here I am, can this continue?
Well, it's funny, Marty. I was hitting great in AAA. But for some reason, I thought it was easier to hit up here only because the pitchers had better control. Down in the minor leagues, you know, you didn't know what was coming. You know, you might have one behind you, one over your head or whatever, and then they might throw a strike on the black on the outside. So I thought it was tougher to hit down there than up here where the pitchers was always around the plate. So I felt more comfortable hitting up here.
Well, they called you Bill McCovey. I saw that in one article. Jack McDonald wrote Bill McCovey. And then Johnny Antonelli, your good friend on the Giants, sort of told everyone sort of how to pronounce your name.
Well, they pronounced McCovey. They called me McCovey, McAvee, lots of different ways, you know. So Johnny Antonelli knew that I liked McCovey, so he told everybody how to pronounce it. He said, rhymes with lovey-dovey. And somebody made a little song called Lovey-Dovey McCovey. But Johnny Antonelli was the one that came up with that.
Well, I didn't know that. I love talking to Willie about these things. The other thing I saw when I did a little bit of research, you like to go to the movies, and you said you like being in San Francisco because you could see three movies a day. In Phoenix, you'd be done by Wednesday in the week.
Well, yeah, in the big city up here, me, Willie Kirkland, Leon Wagner, you know, that's all it was to do. We'd go out to dinner. We could eat at a different restaurant every night. And like you said, there was lots of movies to see. So that was right down my alley.
Day games, huh?
I love playing day games. And up here, you know, they played the schedule that they played in New York, which was only two night games a week, Tuesday night and Friday nights, and the rest of them were day games.
Oh, boy, I love talking to you. One last thought. So you have a great rookie year. We celebrate July 30th every single year. I'm glad we could add to it tonight. But Seal Stadium, when I say Seal Stadium, what sort of comes back to you? Any specific recollection?
Well, it was the first big league stadium, although it really was a minor league stadium because it was the Seals Stadium. But they had renovated it for the big team. So that was my first stadium to play in, so I like playing there, really.
They had the beer sign, and you could smell the bakery.
That's right, you could. You could smell the bakery, and like I say, it was a good park for me to hit in.
All right, so during the last homestand for the Giants, it was a road trip. Mack Williamson hit a pinch-hit home run, and Andy Baggerly, my good friend, says, "Hey, who holds the Giants record for pinch-hit home runs?" And I said, "Gee, I didn't know." And it turned out to be you with 14, and I said, "Here you are, a Hall of Famer, 521 home runs. How'd you ever get a chance at 14 pinch-hit home runs?"
Well, that means that I pinch hit a lot, Marty. Because after my rookie year, as you know, in 60, they traded for Harvey Keene. So Harvey Keene played left field. They brought Cepeda back in to play first base. So that left me out of a starting job. So I came off the bench a lot and pinch hit a lot. And I just happened to hit a few out.
A few. How about 14 of them and a bunch of grand slams as well, which we will talk about another day. Talking to someone else today in the press box, Jay Alvis, he said, "I remember coming out to Candlestick and Sparky Anderson used four outfielders against you." Remember that in a shift? He put four people in the outfield?
Oh, yeah. They pulled some weird shifts against me. People think that these shifts just started this in recent years. But they pulled off some weird shifts against me during those days.
All right. I love talking with you. And I just congratulate you again on July 30th, 1959.
Okay, Marty. Nice talking to you.
All right. Thanks. That's the great Willie McCovey right here at KMBR 680, the sports leader.